ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकथामह्यं ततातीश्वपतान्तिकम् ये कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्रीराधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपस्य कृपा सिन्धुप्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाषधि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम्.
So seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here. So before I start, couple of disclaimers. First one, my journey to remember Krishna just started, so I don't have that much to speak, and I am having trouble remembering Krishna also. So my talk is going to be really short, so I will ask rest of the devotees to like continue. It is not really a joke. Serious. Just kidding. This particular topic is in some sense very easy. In other sense it is very, very difficult. Especially with me, if there are like open-ended topics, I'll be keep on like and like speaking. So I will ask maybe Radharaman Prabhu to tell me like if I'm close to my time, so I will stop. What is it? 30 minutes. So, so because the title of the talk is like, you know, my journey in remembering Krishna who I have forgotten. So I thought, like other speakers here, I will start with, like, you know, my journey from childhood. But I don't want to, like, bore you with so many, like, different stories. So what I would like to do is, in addition to some of these stories, I want to have an underlying theme. The theme is how understanding the mood and love and compassion of the deities, like, you know, Krishna and the devotees who are assisting us, is really essential for us to remember them voluntarily. So that is the kind of like underlying theme. So I will start from the childhood and maybe like, you know, I will try to connect like different dots. So based on this particular theme, how it is really important for us to understand the compassion of the Lord and love of the Lord and his devotees. So, with one thing I can, like when I was thinking about this particular presentation, as I was looking back at my own childhood, it is very, very easy for me to see Lord Krishna's hand in pretty much everything. So there was nothing which is an accident. So within the like community where like I was from, the like in like pretty much everybody, like in our community, they eat like meat and things like that. But My grandfather, he was initiated into Sri Sampradaya. So because of that, we never had to deal with meat eating and things like that. So I can see how though everybody was eating meat within the community, but just in my home, we never had to deal with that because of my grandfather. So Lord Krishna was mercifully putting me in a particular situation. And even in the early days of my childhood, I can clearly see that how because of the mercy of devotees and Krishna and probably whatever little devotional service I might have rendered in the previous lifetime or lifetimes. So I was very much inclined to different devotional practices, from the beginning. I was always attracted to worshipping deities or chanting, learning to chant different mantras and things like that. And even, I don't remember how old I was, probably 7 years or 8 years, something like that. From that time, I used to observe Ekadasi, fasting, even as a child. At that time, my fasting standards were much more stricter than now. Now I'm old. So we used to, in our family, fasting means it is always Nirjal. We never had Nirjal Ekadasi or Nirjal this fasting like that. Each and every Ekadasi or every fasting is Nirjal. So like that, from the childhood, things had been happening. Just a funny story. So when I was, I think maybe in third or fourth grade, I had one friend. His name is Jay Ganesh. And he used to trick people a lot. So I was one of those who got tricked. Because at that time I was very much interested in, as a child, my dream was to meet Lord Vishnu. So one day, I was talking to this guy, Jay Ganesh, and I told him, I want to meet Lord Vishnu. And then he said, oh, you are lucky. I know where he lives. We need to cross 7 mountains and 7 rivers, 7 this, 7 that. I will take you. But, the distance is a lot. So we need to be very early in the morning. Then I said, sure. So we started very early in the morning. He said, but when you come, you need to get lot of money. So whenever, so that when we are walking, you can buy me stuff. So both of us can eat, and so we will be kind of relaxed when we are going to meet Lord Vishnu. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So got some money. So we started walking. Probably we might have walked several miles. Then he said, okay, it is too much distance, so let's eat something. So we were purchasing things and eating, then walking little bit more and little bit more. And then when it is afternoon, then he's okay, now it is too late. So Lord Vishnu is going to sleep. So we don't want to go and disturb him. So we will go back. And I said, okay, so next time we will start little early. Then, that we used to do several weeks. Finally, I understood he did not know where Lord Vishnu, resides. So I thought, the main point I wanted to make is that how in scriptures when Lord Krishna says that I preserve, whatever you have, and, that is, really true. So I can see that there are so many instances where I can see how the Lord orchestrated so many different things. All of us taking birth in a particular family or having natural inclination to worship the Lord. At the time I was not a devotee, but still I was given an opportunity to take birth in a particular family where practicing devotional services easy. And then even the way, like, I came to the United States, and like when I look at each and every like aspect, I can clearly see Lord Krishna's like hand. So like after my undergraduation, I gave one entrance exam. I cleared that, and I was supposed to be placed in like one of the like, you know, very well reputed institutes in India. But I got admission before I even completed my undergraduate degree. So there was some issue in getting a certificate. Then I said, forget about it. I'm not going to, like, you know, do that. And then I was preparing for, like, you know, GRE and TOEFL so that I can come here. But in one sense, I was a little bit inclined to do that. In other sense, I was not that serious. And when I was applying to different universities, I was not planning to, like, you know, like, apply to wherever I applied, like, you know, Penn State University and, like, other places. But my elder brother was insisting that I had to apply because the deadlines for applications and all those things were way past. I think the time I wrote my exam itself is in October or November, like that, for admission in, like, January. So it is impossible to get, like, admission. So I told my brother, I'm planning to join in fall, like in August, September time frame. But he insisted that I apply early. Then I said, if you want to waste your $50, sure, I will apply. So I applied to some of these universities, but I was supposed to go to a different university because I was talking to a particular professor and he was going to give me full like assistantship. So it is pretty much a done deal. I was supposed to apply to that particular university. Then he will give me an official like admission letter. So I applied to that university. Then I also applied to Penn State. And Penn State, I did not know anybody. And I just like applied. Because you can choose three universities without paying any additional money. I said, okay, sure, Penn State. Like that, I applied to Penn State also. But within, probably like within couple of days after like I submitted my application, I received an offer letter with like full assistantship and full like, you know, like tuition waiver from Penn State University. I did not even get in touch with anybody and they gave me. Then I said, sure, like I will go to Penn State. So I went to like Penn State. There, I met a devotee in a very unusual, like, circumstance. I had a, like, former roommate who was living in Pittsburgh. Maybe, like, after 1 or 2 weeks after I joined Penn State, I wanted to visit him in Pittsburgh. So I was taking the Greyhound bus, and I was traveling in the bus. And then I had, like, you know, when somebody is keep on looking at you, you get a weird sense. Like, you know, somebody is actually looking at me. Like that, I was in front of the bus and I had some kind of weird feeling. Is somebody keep on looking at me? Then I turned around and there was one devotee. At that time, he did not realize he was a devotee. His name is Rahul. So he, like, asked me, can I come and sit in front of you? Like, you know, he was just doing the sign language. Then I looked at him, I said, sure, come on in. Then he came in and then he said, oh, like, I'm really bored sitting alone. So I wanted to have some company. So can we talk? I said, sure. Then we were talking. At the time I asked him, do you have any temple near, Penn State? He said, no. The closest temple is, like, you know, near Pittsburgh. Like we had like Venkateshwara temple. And then I was asking, at the time I was still not a, like, devotee. So I asked him whether there is anything else going on at Penn State. Like, you know, any kind of, like, student groups or things like that. At the time, he told me that, I don't know whether anything like this is happening right now, but I know that my roommate is going to a roommate. I don't know whether he had just like one roommate or two roommates, but he was telling that they are going to start a student club called Vedic Society. He said, I think he is very religious because he is waking up 4 o'clock in the morning and making lot of noise and like, you know, making me like wake up in the middle of the night, and he keeps on ringing the bell so early in the morning. He is starting something. Then I said, oh, maybe I need to meet this person. So that's how like I got to like know that there was some program which is happening or going to like happen at Penn State. So I was one of the like earliest like members of that Vedic Society, which is a student club at Penn State University where devotees were practicing Krishna consciousness. At the time, His Holiness Rompa Swami Maharaj used to come, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year. So I know this, like all these things happened in January of like 2001. So that was when I was introduced to like Krishna consciousness. So I know Maharaj from that early 2001 onwards, where he was keep on coming to the Vedic Society and giving his association and training all the devotees. And so that is one part. Then even the way I came to Chicago, because I'm talking about how I came to different places. So let me add this one also. The way I came to Chicago is also very mysterious. So in 2006, I took shelter of Maharaj. Then I think in 2008, fall of 2008, I was doing a postdoctoral fellowship at Alabama A&M University, which is down south in Huntsville, Alabama. Because my postdoctoral fellowship was getting over, I was trying to apply to different places. I was planning to go to Hawaii and that place and this place. It is not because these places are exotic. That is where they had some openings. I was just keep on applying wherever there was some position open. Then I was just randomly applying to those places. So Maharaj, he has a system, email system, where he will be writing the name of the devotee, and then within bracket he will put the place where the devotee is from. So before I was initiated, before getting the name Namaruchi Das, my name was Kathiravan Krishnamurti. So Maharaj used to put Kathiravan Krishnamurti within bracket, Answil. So I was just applying to, Maharaj told you try to come to Chicago also. I said, sure Maharaj. And there was no position open. I applied to Illinois Institute of Technology where I'm working right now. I applied and nobody even bothered to respond, because they did not have any opening. I randomly sent emails. Do you have a position? I'm interested in working for you. Nobody responded. Then one fine day, Maharaj changed my email address. In the sense, not email address, the... what is it? Yeah, so instead of saying Kathiravan Krishnamurti Answil, he put Kathiravan Krishnamurti Chicago. And I did not see that. So the same day, I got an inspiration to apply to IIT, the same place I'm working right now. And I sent an email after 5:30 or something like that in the evening. This time I sent an email to one of my graduate classmates, Dr. Nate Anderson. I told him, can you please forward my resume to the Director of Human Resources. I don't know whether they are planning to hire anybody, but just in case, like, you know, forward my resume. He said, sure. And he forwarded it very late in the night or very early in the morning. And the next day, early in the morning, I think before, up from 7:30 to 8 in that range, I received an email from the director of human resources. Are you still interested in the position? I said, sure. It is only like, you know, few hours passed. And I did not even know that they had a position. And they asked, are you still interested in the position? I said, sure, I'm interested. Then I came here for 2 days of interview and everything went fine. Then they gave me the position. After all these things happened, they created the position announcement. Like, you know, this position is available. So, like, I completed all my interview and they unofficially offered the position because they cannot officially offer the position because they need to interview, like, all the qualified candidates. Only they can hire the best candidate. So they opened the position, like, created the position announcement. Then other people, they applied and they interviewed more people. Then finally, they, like offered the job to me. So like that, like, you know, like, one word from Huntsville to Chicago, like, you know, like, made me, like, you know, like, come to Chicago. Like that, when I look at each and everything in my life, I can very clearly see the hand of Krishna or the spiritual master. So that is, like, you know, the first aspect I wanted to talk about. How the Lord and his devotees are, like, very merciful, and they do take care of, like, you know, all the needs. Then the second aspect I wanted to talk about is kind of an extension of the same topic, which is the, like, you know, like, love and compassion of the devotees. So in 2006, I think it was probably January of 2006, I got shelter of Maharaj. But though I know Maharaj for like 6 years, probably like I might have hardly spoken a word to him. Typically, my communication with Maharaj is through sign language. Do you want this? Then I serve Maharaj and I don't, like, you know, like to bother them. So even the way I took shelter of Maharaj through email, not in person. I sent, like, you know, like a very long email to Maharaj. I don't, if I print that email, probably it might have been like couple of like pages long. At the time, Maharaj was traveling internationally. I think he was in Europe at the time. So I wrote a very long email expressing that I want to take shelter of Maharaj. He read each and every line of that very long, like, email, and he responded, like, you know, though he was like, you know, traveling at that time, he wrote, you will be receiving this email, that means I came to yours, because he was typing the response when he was like flying. I pretty much revealed, like, everything to Maharaj from the time I was born until at that time, what I did, what I did not do, and pretty much everything I wrote to Maharaj. Now when I am thinking about it, it was too much. Maharaj carefully read everything, and he wrote me an email, which is also, like, you know, pretty long. I was, like, you know, like, very like, surprised. He pretty much wrote whatever I have to do for rest of my life. In the first email itself, like, you know, he wrote, okay, what kind of occupation I need to take and how to move from my current occupation to whatever occupation I have right now. Like that, he was going through each and every thing. So when I received that email, it was, like, you know, really, like, overwhelming. Because he was so loving and so careful in detailing, like, you know, each and everything which I have to do. Then after that I met like Maharaj in person during the Festival of Inspiration in New Vrindavan. So at that time I was moving from Penn State to Huntsville, Alabama. So I went to meet with Maharaj. So then he was talking to me for some time. Then I went to Huntsville. He was so much like worried about me when I moved to Huntsville, because at the time there were no devotees in Huntsville. I was going to a place where there are no devotees. So he was like very much concerned. So he asked me to attend one Bhakti Vriksha, which was in the next state, Tennessee, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So I used to attend that particular Bhakti Vriksha because Maharaj like asked me to attend the Bhakti Vriksha. He said like as much as possible, he wants me to like attend. So it was, I think like 135 miles. I had to drive 135 miles to get association of devotees for a couple of hours. So when you don't have the opulence of having association with devotees, when we don't have something, then we value that. So I used to like, you know, drive 135 miles and have association. Maybe like at 11 o'clock, I'll be driving back and I'll be reaching like, you know, like Huntsville. Then at that time, I also used to attend the second program, which was in University of Alabama, which is again similar kind of distance, 130 or 140 miles. I used to attend the second program the next day. So I used to be so tired just by like all this driving. So then because Maharaj was very much worried about me because I don't have any association. So when I met with Maharaj in New Vrindavan, he asked me for my phone number. I gave my cell phone number. And I did not really think that Maharaj is going to call me. So I said, okay, Maharaj wants, maybe he wants to keep it in his database or something like that. So I just gave the number. One day, like I received a call from Maharaj. And then I also saved, he gave me his number, so I saved it. Like, you know, Guru Maharaj, like that. And one day in the morning, the phone started ringing. I saw it said Guru Maharaj. I was shaking. I did not know what to do. Because I rarely speak to Maharaj. I was like shaking like anything. Then I did not know what to do. And then I took, the phone was on the countertop. I took the phone. I kept the phone on the floor. And then offered obeisances to the phone. Then I was shaking. And then I took the phone and then, Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Guru Maharaj, something, something. I was keep on going and then he started laughing. Because I did not even know what I was speaking. I was keep on going on. And he spoke for about like half an hour or so to me. And then he said, we need to like assign you a mentor. Then he gave like, you know, he did not like give me like five choices. He said, these are the five choices. And then he went through like each and every personality. So they will take care of this and that and all those. So he went through all the five people, five devotees he was planning to like assign me as a mentor. Then he assigned me a mentor. Then like, and, like, was trained like very nicely because Radharaman Prabhu indicated that I am running out of time. So I will cut like everything short. So I assigned the mentor, and the mentor also used to call me so early in the morning because Maharaj specifically told my mentor that I am really worried about me. Like, you know, he is worried about me because I don't have any association. So he asked my mentor to check on me, like, you know, and he used to call me every couple of days. He will call me, then I used to become nervous also. when I received calls from my mentor or Maharaj. So he used to call me so early in the morning, like 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, like that. He used to call me. He would say, "Are you awake?" And I say, "Yes, sir, I'm awake." So it is like, you know, very nice. Like, you know, like how Maharaj was, like, you know, always or in this case, to make it more general, the spiritual master and the devotees who the spiritual master is asking to take care of their disciples or aspiring disciples, they are like loving and so loving and compassionate. There are like so many different like details. In the interest of time, I will not go into. So that is the second like aspect I wanted to talk about. And the final aspect I wanted to talk about is some of the like services, because the primary topic is like how we remember like Krishna. So for me, especially like last year or two, I've been like meditating on a particular aspect a lot, that how it is very, very important for us to understand the mood of the person, like, you know, the love a particular person has for us, in order for us to know that person fully. So right now, I'm doing like some like services, though like, you know, not at all like qualified by the mercy of the spiritual master, like worshipping the deities like on the altar, or assisting devotees in studying like Bhakti Shastri, like that there are like multiple services. Whenever I do these services, one thing which is like I'm trying to like, you know, keep on meditating on is about the like compassion and the love of different like personalities. For example, like, you know, Kishore Kishori and all the deities here, like how merciful they are, how compassionate they are. So when we see who is dressing like, you know, Kishore Kishori in the spiritual world, like, you know, Mother Yasoda is dressing, and all these, like, you know, personalities, so exalted personalities, they are directly serving Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. But we also have the same opportunity to serve Krishna. It is because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and it is because of the mercy of our spiritual master, though we are not like qualified. And they give lot of blessings to make ourselves qualified. And then once we show some sign of like, you know, even little bit of qualification, then they like, you know, give us an opportunity to serve the deities. And same thing with like, you know, scriptural like reading. When I first did like Bhakti Shastri, I was not like, you know, Radharaman Prabhu and myself, couple of other devotees here, we took the Bhakti Shastri. Like after we completed the Bhakti Shastri, I was not at all like satisfied, because I was studying Bhakti Shastri from a scholarly like perspective. The aim was mainly to get like, you know, good points. So I did like well in the exams, but I was not feeling like, you know, really fulfilled. So when an opportunity was presented to me, whether I can assist in teaching Bhakti Shastri, I said, like, you know, yes, after, like, you know, talking to Maharaj, because I thought, unless there is some kind of, like, you know, like push, I'm not going to be really deeply going to read the scriptures. So now, this is the second time, like, I'm teaching Bhakti Shastri. The more and more I read, it is becoming an overwhelming kind of like experience, because like you can understand the mood and compassion of the scriptures, and we can understand the mood of like Srila Prabhupada, and we can understand the mood of like our acharyas, how they are like so merciful, they want us to progress in our like spiritual life. So that is the like final point like I wanted to make. So just to summarize from my understanding based on my limited theoretical realization, it is for us to know Krishna, for us to understand Krishna, we need to understand the mood of Krishna. We need to understand the love of Krishna. And if each and every one of us are going to be taking a look at our own lives, then we can identify so many different scenarios where Lord Krishna is reciprocating with us, he is protecting us, and he is providing showering us with lot of his mercy and love. So that is the point I wanted to leave with. Sorry, I took more time. So there are more things I wanted to say, but we'll stop here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Take my minutes with you. Okay. I'm not really good about talking about myself, so I thought I'll talk about Swetha instead. Okay. But okay, maybe not. So, I figured I'm not sitting here because I'm really good at remembering Krishna or anything, but I figured Maharaj probably asks because we've been given a lot. I've probably been given so much that I should be remembering Krishna all the time. But the amazing thing is that the devotees keep giving even though I'm not there yet. So I thought I'll talk a little bit about... Okay. So I thought I kind of put down maybe some things that helped me remember Krishna over the years. And one thing that really stood out is that the theme, like Namaruchi Prabhu was saying, the theme was devotees. That really I'm here because of the devotees and how much they've put into loving us and encouraging us over the years. And Maharaj always says it takes a village to grow a child. So thanks to the Chicago congregation and to Maharaj's family, I'm sitting here today. And then for me, thinking about it was a little confusing because thanks to my dad, I've seen my dad videos everything, so I've seen a little bit more than I actually remember. So, I was gonna say I was running here when I was a toddler, but I don't really remember that, but I've seen it on video. So I've seen, our home programs. I had my first grain here, so really Kishore Kishori have been there from the beginning, for me. And my first actual memory of Maharaj would be when I was 5, I think, around 5. We were at a home program in Gurney, in Premananda Maharaj's home. And so he started the class asking, are there any Shrutis in the audience? So for some reason I was there, so I raised my hand. And he asked if I knew what my name meant, and I said no. So he told me, somehow it was related to the class, so my name means... the words that Krishna speaks, or the words of the Lord. So that really impressed me, and I was like, oh, wow, I have a cool name. And so around 5 years old, also, we started Sunday school here. And so we had a really awesome group of Sunday school teachers. So I don't know if I got the order right, but at least when me and my sister started coming, Gopasundari Mataji was our teacher. So she would really know how to come up with games for us to remember Krishna all the time. And I remember reading in Lilamrita, Prabhupada and his sister, when they would be flying kites, they would be praying to Krishna, oh, please let our kite fly, and stuff like that. So like that, we would be do you promise to Krishna that you did this or whatever, we'd be throwing around Krishna's name all the time in anything we're playing. And that's thanks to, our Sunday school. And then we had Murari Prabhu after that, and he could always come up with ways to tell stories that were it kept us captivated. I think Maharaj has already told us a lot of times about how Murari Prabhu would keep us occupied more than the adults' class was occupied. And then Premananda Mataji had slokas, like she had a chart to have us memorize slokas, so we were really motivated in Sunday school through that. And then we had Jayarade Mataji, and she was like really good. So one thing that she told us when we were younger was that when you chant, Krishna dances on your tongue. So that somehow impressed me, like, oh, when I say Krishna's name, he's, you know, in my mouth chanting. So that, dancing, sorry. So that impressed me to chant and also to brush my teeth and keep my mouth clean too. But so I remembered Krishna then too. And then we had Ananda Rindavan Mataji, Jagananda Prabhu, and Hemangi Mataji, Nityan Prabhu. So we had a lot of dramas, so that's a great way to remember Krishna when you have to memorize what he says in the slokas and things like that. So like even when we read Bhagavatam now, like we'll be thinking about the dramas we did when we were kids. And I was somehow always Vishnu and Sri Rupa would always be Lakshmi. I don't know how. But yeah, Amukunda was always Krishna. Yeah, so that was great. And, you know, Manasi Gangamaji, Pranatangi Maji, Himangi Maji really did a good job of dressing us up. So we really looked the part. And we had summer camps. And the great thing was, like, we would remember Krishna. And also, like, it wasn't just always, like, studying books or things like that. Like, I remember during summer camps, Himangi Maji would be there in our soccer games, too. And it was, like, you know, through everything, like the devotees made it such that we could remember Krishna at every time. And that was a lot of fun. Yeah, and then we got a little older. So then we had soul connection. So, you know, we got engaged through that and we had kirtan. And then we went off to college, so then we had, you know, mentors, and so I was lucky enough to stay with Nityananda Prabhu and Hemangi Maji through my 4 years of college and beyond until I got married. So really growing up, watching them, how they remember Krishna in their daily lives, was amazing, and then they were also taking up their responsibilities here, so watching their journey of taking up different responsibilities was really amazing for me. Yeah, and actually now that I have my own kid, to think about how they were able to embrace so many people while raising a kid is just amazing. Like, I can't think about beyond myself, but they were thinking about, you know, all of us kids and bringing us to their home and doing all those kinds of things while raising little Prahlad. So thanks to him also for sharing his parents with us. So yeah, so we had an amazing, like, unlike Namruchi Prabhu, we were like swimming in association. We had so many devotees, and so I feel very lucky to have that. And so that was one aspect that really helped me. And then the other one would be reading. I'm really into reading. Like, I love reading about Prabhupada. I'm not really philosophical or anything like that, but I love reading stories of Prabhupada's life and how he lived and how he remembered Krishna. And then that helps me too, because then you'll see the same, like, you know, I think Badrinarayan Maharaj was saying he'll walk along, he used to walk along Michigan beach here. So then when you go to the beach also, you're like, oh, Prabhupada walked here. And things like that. And then, oh, and so when we were younger, Maharaj used to send us books in the mail too. And so one of my favorites was Chota's Way. So it's a story about a little mouse that goes around and preaches amongst all the other mouse community. So, and it's really interesting because he, the questions they ask, you know, even though he's a mouse, it was stuff that you would ask. Like, so that was really creative by Satsuru Maharaj. And then another one of my recent favorites is Chasing Rhinos with the Swami by Shyamasundara Prabhu. Because I guess the theme is remembering Krishna. So you'll see in their lives how Shyamasundara Prabhu says that Krishna was forced to show himself because of his love for Prabhupada. So they would take so many risks for Prabhupada. and Krishna had to come to like save them because, you know, he loved Prabhupada so much. And so you'll see amazing things like money falling from the sky, or like, you know, the Bhagavad Gita getting published by the Macmillan, I forget the exact name, but things that just you wouldn't expect to happen, but Krishna makes it happen because his love for a pure devotee. So reading really helps me a lot. Then the other thing was, going to holy places. So when we were around when I was in high school, maybe after 10th grade, my mom got inspired to do homeschooling. So for me, it was like, okay, I only have 2 years left of school. Why should I homeschool? But, I just went along with it anyway. And it really, that time actually spending around devotees and going to all the holy places really changed a lot of my outlook. At that point, I was barely chanting. Like, I mean, it's not a secret. I guess Marge kind of is pretty open about the fact that I was not really chanting much. And but going to the holy places and following Maharaj around for 3 weeks, like seeing him all day, really made a difference. And you really felt like Krishna was something real, because hearing from Maharaj in the holy places where Krishna was actually running around, you kind of feel like, oh, I want to be a part of this too. So hearing from Maharaj 3 weeks nonstop. In that year, we went to, I think it was Mayapur, the first Yuktyatra in 2006, followed immediately by Jagannath Puri, and then that Karthik month we went to Vrindavan. So that year was really inspiring for me. And then I thought any place that Krishna's devotees go is a place of pilgrimage. So we really followed Maharaj that year. Like any home program, any college program, even if we're the youngest ones there, we go to and just keep hearing Maharaj everywhere. And it was amazing. And then Maharaj started the japa retreats. So chanting is not really my strong thing, but since we were young, Maharaj would ask us, like we'd all be in the lobby and he'd point to each one of us and ask, oh, so how many rounds are you chanting? So my answer was usually sometimes two, and he knew that was like a lie. It means like, yeah, because you asked, but he just kept encouraging anyway, like gave me other things to do or things to read. And then finally after those yatras, I decided, okay, I'm just going to chant. And I started chanting 16 at that time. And I kind of did it. And then at that time also the japa retreat started. So some things that I liked from the japa retreats, one message that he gave was the Krishna, please accept me message. Because you'd always hear like older devotees say, oh, you know, we've been around for a long time and we've seen people come and go, so many people come and go. So for me, I was like, oh, I don't want to go. So I would always pray to Kishore, you know, please keep me here no matter what happens. So that was something that inspired me to chant a little bit more, like that I didn't want to go from here. And around the same time also, like, our group kind of got into kirtan. We were, like, learning harmonium a lot. Niranthar Prabhu would come to our house, like, it seemed like every day, but I think it was, like, probably just a couple times a week. Somehow he's always going to a store near our house, even if it was the opposite direction, but our house is always on the way, so he'd make a stopover and make us practice. So we were really into learning new tunes. But he would make us practice the same tune again and again. And we'd be like, oh, we know the keys to that. But then he'd say, no, it gets sweeter when you play it again and again. So he would really make us go into the mood of chanting more than just learning a bunch of melodies. So more of the spirit of kirtan, he was encouraging us. So I was grateful for that. And also, after one of the festivals, my name's Badahari Prabhu. He did an art of kirtan, so that also, he was explaining how he would teach in a girls' school in Alachua, and he was teaching how he taught the girls that no matter what, like even if you're going through hard times and stuff, you can sing to Krishna through kirtan. So just open your heart and really pour out everything to Krishna, because he's always there. So that's really stuck with me. And so if I was going through, I mean, I don't really go through many hard times, honestly, but thankfully. So, but if there was something, then I could always take it to the deities and really sing my heart out. And then the last thing that I would say really helps me remember Krishna is services. I don't know why people give me services, but still they give me stuff to do even though I'm disorganized and pretty much a procrastinator. So because of that, I have to remember Krishna in the last minute because there's no way. There's no way anything can get done. Like, especially Gita Nagari, I'm sure everyone knows that because there's only limited spots at the farm and everyone wants to stay on the farm. So somehow we pray to Krishna and it happens. Everyone gets a place to stay. And now the newest service we have is raising a child. So that gives you lots of opportunities to remember Krishna and give you strength to catch the baby before she pulls something down and things like that. So, yeah, so those are just some thoughts on my journey so far. And basically, I just wanted to say, I figured I could just get up here and say thank you to all the devotees and for, you know, bringing me where I am, if I'm anywhere. And I look forward to growing more and hopefully taking more of what I've been given. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I didn't prepare my talk so much in a journey format, actually, because when I started contemplating this this title of my journey into the realm of remembering my forgotten Krishna, I started thinking about, as Shamsakhi so nicely, actually, she was very organized throughout her life's journey, but I was thinking how when I was young, you know, I was just a silly little kid, and by the mercy of my parents, we met the devotees, and life was filled with activities like dramas, dances, shloka recitations, Sunday feast, the kids being encouraged to sing, lead kirtan. And I was realizing that a lot of the activities were centered around being in the temple. And then slowly it started manifesting in the house also. We would do service within our home as a family. But actually, I was going through the thought process of trying to prepare for this, and I was becoming overwhelmed as to how much I can say. In terms of the journey, it's been a long journey and a lot has happened. So I decided instead of walking through my life, I'm gonna share like general things in my life that have helped me. Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki Jai Jagannath Bhagat Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Gornitai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I'm going to speak about, I think because of this, for the sake of time, I'm going to speak about three general aspects of my life which have deeply helped me to remember Krishna. The first aspect is outreach. So when I lived in Tampa, Florida from 2011 to 2014. And somehow or other, I became immersed in sharing Krishna consciousness with other people. Because there was actually nothing going on in Tampa at the time. I was even warned by Malati Devi that don't go there. You have no association there. It didn't even take her a second to tell me. When I told her I got a job in Tampa, she's like, don't go. And I was like, well, it's all done now. It's all figured out. And I went, and actually it was a serious struggle initially because of the lack of devotee association. But we, myself, and there was one other nice family of devotees who, by the grace of Badahari Prabhu, actually I got to meet this other family. And we started doing some outreach there. We started some Bhakti Vrikshas, and we also started a university program. And what happened is that other devotee, he left. He had to go back to India. And somehow it just ended up that I was like the only qualified person around. And so I had to start speaking. And it's really something that's, it's very nerve-wracking for me to share philosophy verbally. It was also very interesting for me when Maharaj asked me to come here for this service. I was thinking, oh yeah, he'll ask me to do kirtan and that's fine. And then I saw my name as a panel speaker. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. But the fact that basically the programs wouldn't have continued if I didn't take on the service of speaking, like facilitating the Bhakti Riksha or the college outreach. And so I was like, okay, well, this just has to be done. And I clearly remember how I became more immersed in hearing about Krishna, more immersed in reading about Krishna, and being thoughtful about the philosophy and how we can, how can you deliver this to the different audiences that we were having at that time. It was really an intriguing process. And definitely I was absorbed in Krishna all the time. I also remember that I would pray a lot more. I clearly remember making a prayer that, my dear Krishna, please put the words in my mouth that these students or these Bhakti Riksha devotees need to hear. It was very deeply prayerful because I was very helpless, actually. There have been other moments in life where I've stepped out of my comfort zone and it's made me remember Krishna very deeply and a lot more, and made me more prayerful. Then the next type of outreach that we do, which is really what I live for. I don't know what I'd do without Harinam. When we take the kirtan to the streets, it's the most enlivening thing for me personally. And I've grown a lot by doing Harinam. It's actually profound how many realizations you get while being out there. Because you see these people who are suffering, terribly suffering and just entangled in all sorts of things. And first of all, you become very grateful. You're like, Krishna, thank you. Thank Krishna that I'm with the Harinam party. Anybody who passes by the Harinam is greatly fortunate. But I personally, I'm very thankful that Krishna saved me and pulled me out of the other side. And then, second of all, you look at these people and you realize how much they need Krishna. Like, people are suffering terribly, actually. And they desperately need Krishna. So on Harinam, all these thoughts go through. And then when you have the opportunity to observe how a person's life changes once they come into contact with Krishna consciousness, that's like the most inspiring, magical thing ever. First of all, you can observe your own life and look at how you were before and what you've become today. And it's like, how can you not see the Krishna magic working? It's really profound. I've personally known one individual for 7 years. From the time he came to the, he met the devotees, you know, there he is with his afro and dressed in his, I remember the first festival he attended was Shnan Yatra in the Detroit Temple. And he was dressed in his swimming trunks. I mean, like he was wearing, which was kind of appropriate, I guess. It's Shnan Yatra. No. But, yeah, his afro and his swimming trunks. And just trying to do what these devotees are crazy, Hare Krishnas are trying to do. And I've seen him throughout the years. And it really amazes me how today, he's the person who inspires everyone else. He is bringing so many people to Krishna consciousness, and he's, it's Dev Madhav Prabhu for those who know. And so I've known him for 7 years, and just the way I've seen him change, it really increased. This is my faith in our process, and just makes me realize how amazing Krishna is and how kind and compassionate he is. The real change, I think, in Dev Madhav Prabhu's life is it's there because of how he's deeply immersed himself in studying our books and hearing from Srila Prabhupada. This aspect is very prominent in his life, and I think that's what's created great change and has given him the ability to become a leader in our movement. He doesn't just study or hear or read, but he also does this one very important thing, which is contemplation. He's a very thoughtful person. So, and I can see that as he's our leader over there now, and the way he speaks to people, interacts with people, delivers, you can see that he's very thoughtful about our philosophy. It's not just, reading through books or, he's very attentive basically. So he's an inspiration to me. He makes me try harder for Krishna. And for Srila Prabhupada. The last aspect of outreach I'm going to touch on is book distribution, just because 'tis the season. I guess it's the last day of December, but this for a month and a half, we rented out a kiosk at a shopping mall in Michigan, and we set up our books over there. And I honestly didn't participate much. I only participated 2 hours, just like 2-3 days ago. I finally made it out to the kiosk. And books are really not my thing, to say the least, because it's a very ego-smashing service, and my ego is very up there. So when I went out, I think it was on Thursday, when I went out, I was trying to be very prayerful about it. When I'm in a helpless situation, it makes me more prayerful. So I was praying a lot before getting to the mall, and but as soon as I got there, within 30 seconds, I like distributed my first book, and I was like, "Wow, this is Krishna!" You know, this service. It was like every moment of that service, I was being reminded of Krishna. Because we have to think about Krishna within the hearts of all the people walking by. And it's like there's a hesitation to reach out to people. But the fact is that every single one of these people has Krishna in his heart, and it's a part and parcel of Krishna. So it's like you shouldn't miss even a single one. It doesn't matter if one person says no and just walks by. But this service really helped me remember Krishna a lot. And near the end, when we were wrapping up, Sridhari Prabhu was packing up and putting the books away. And I had distributed a fair number of books. But I hadn't distributed a Bhagavad Gita. And earlier that day, I was listening to a talk by my spiritual master, Srila Krishna Das Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj was... basically, Guru Maharaj loves Bhagavad Gita a lot, and he always encouraged us to study Gita. And when I was at the end of the book distribution, I was feeling a little bit regretful that I hadn't distributed a single Bhagavad Gita, and I was thinking that this would really please Guru Maharaj if I could just distribute one Gita. So there was a large African-American person who was walking by the stall, and sometimes I'm a little intimidated to approach, just, you know, it depends. I'm like on the bodily concept, so I sometimes don't approach certain the people who look a certain way. But I was like, you just got to do it, you know. So I walked up to this person. I'm like, I don't remember exactly what I said, but, you know, I showed him the book, and Vaisheshika Prabhu teaches extend the book out, so at least even if they just touch it, it's like mercy for them. So I held the book out, and he took it, and I started saying something, and he started talking back to me. And then he's like, okay, let me try this out, you know, let me try. And so he flips to somewhere in the middle. And I think what we're taught is, like, you shouldn't stop talking. Don't give them too much time to think too much about what's going on. But I have no ability to speak, actually. Like, I just, like, my mouth was shut. I didn't say anything. And I was just standing there watching him flipping to a page, thinking, he's going to read something that's going to, like, totally turn him off. But at the same time, I started praying in that moment. I was like, Krishna, Krishna, just let him see something. Let something happen, you know. And lo and behold, Krishna hears our prayers. He read that if we don't do sacrifice, then how can we be happy? And somehow or other that struck his heart, and he's like, wow, this is profound. He's like, I want this book. I was like, well, how are you able to do that? It just the process of doing book, that service really helped me, again, to pray to Krishna a lot. And a lot of this goes back to what Namruchi Prabhu started out with, is if we look at different things in our life, we'll see how clearly Krishna is always there. Krishna is the one person who will never, ever leave us. Actually, the holy name is like that for me. This is a good time. The third, do I have time still? Okay. The third aspect I wanted to talk about, maybe there'll be four, but if we have time, but third aspect I wanted to talk about is, this is the second aspect. I talked about outreach, and now I want to talk about adversity, actually, difficulties in life. So I went through a very difficult phase in life, and at that time, somehow I didn't have an established deep relationship with anybody to, like, confide in and, you know, take shelter. But I had been chanting japa for many years, and you come to the realization that the holy name is really that one person who will never, ever leave you and will always be there for you. You may be in circumstances that you're really kind of left alone. You can't reach out to people. Like, literally, I have a friend. You just cannot communicate even. But the holy name is always there in any situation. So when I was going through this difficult time, I just knew that the one thing I should hold on to is chanting my 16 rounds. And they were the worst 16 rounds ever. Like, they were completely inattentive, distracted. It was just completely, entirely mechanical. But somehow or other, I think because I had tasted, previously Krishna had given me a taste, an experience, while chanting the holy names. So I knew that just finish your 16 rounds, just get through your 16 rounds. And I held on to that during this phase. And then somehow I was introduced to an individual who I'm very indebted to in my life. And she just spoke a few words in glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just a little bit she shared with me about her appreciation of Bhagavatam and how Bhagavatam can actually solve everything in our life. There's that verse, Srinvatam Sakata Krishna. Bhagavatam, almost all of our troubles in the heart can be eradicated. And so I just heard this glorification from this individual, and I was inspired to start reading a verse of Bhagavatam a day, as well as hearing the corresponding lecture. I chose to hear from Rompad Maharaj, because he pretty much has a class on every single verse, almost every single verse in the Bhagavatam. So I'd read just one verse and hear the class. So I started this practice, and honestly, I can say that the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam literally saved my life while I was going through that difficult time period. Not too long ago, I went through another struggle in life, another adversity. And then I had actually developed some relationships with certain individuals. And so this one individual, she sent me a quote, which I'll read to everyone because it's really nice. She sent me this quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is from Adi Lila 14.1. And the quote reads, "Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances." So, she sent me this during the day, one of the days where I was going through this struggle. And that night, I was struggling, like really, it was like an intense struggle. And somehow my gaze fell on, I have a very large photo of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. It's like a really large, of his face. And when I was struggling, my gaze fell on his photo, on this photograph. And I remembered this verse. And I thought, all you have to do is remember Gauranga Mahaprabhu and you can get through anything. It really somehow hit my heart. Like, it was like, this is the truth. All you have to do is remember Lord Chaitanya and you can get through anything. In fact, if you don't remember Lord Chaitanya, then even the simplest things you cannot overcome. So it seems like a very simple thing. It's one little quote out of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it actually transformed my whole perspective during that struggle. It became really simple to get through it. And since then, whenever I'm struggling with certain things, I'll just remember this and I'll be like, okay, it'll be fine. It's kind of like Maharaj was talking today. Actually, Maharaj spoke about this today, right? Always remembering Krishna, no matter, even when you're going through difficulties. And near the end of the class, I remember Maharaj saying that, you know, you're gonna be suffering all your life, basically. Like, let's not fool ourselves. There's gonna be stuff that comes up, and it can be all sorts of stuff. But you just have to know that it's Krishna's mercy and it'll be okay. He said like this, it'll be okay. And so whenever I go through a struggle and think about this quote that just remember Lord Chaitanya, I mean, how hard is it? Krishna is so kind. All we have to do is remember him. And we have so many ways of remembering him, actually. And the final aspect that I want to talk about, it just follows right through from this, is that one of the ways that we can remember Krishna is through relationships. Majority of my life, I've had lots of friends. My relationships have been far and wide, and I know many people. But the relationships were very surface level. They were very, you know, kind of like, they weren't very deep relationships. That was majority of my life. But in recent years, I have developed some very deep relationships, and I've seen the effect that it has on making progress. So even like, actually, if we look at any of these things I've spoken, the stories I've shared, the book distribution, it was inspired by hearing my spiritual master, because I have a deep relationship with my spiritual master. And the adversities, I was able to overcome these adversities because of some input from some relationship I had. So as I have developed certain relationships, and they're very few, you know, just two or three relationships, but when you go deeper and deeper, these relationships will help you remember Krishna more. And it'll be in ways that nobody's even trying to do that, actually. When you interact, it just comes out. Like, it doesn't have to be directly that the person's telling you you should remember Krishna or turn to Krishna during this time. It's just when the relationship deepens, I don't even know how to explain this. It's kind of profound and I'm still figuring it out. But deep relationships most certainly help us remember, and most of the time I turned away from getting deeper into relationships. But if we can develop trusting, loving relationships with the devotees, it can definitely help us to remember Krishna more and more. I'm losing my chain of thought, so I'm gonna take shelter of my notes. Not Krishna. Oh yeah, so when we, when we deepen our relationships, the fun thing that happens is our anarthas come out, or these, you know, unwanted qualities, we start to see them very vividly. And my realization was that, especially, well, for myself, it's like when I see these qualities in my heart, these qualities exist in my heart, which are really frustrating, actually, because they're, you know, it's not cool stuff that comes out. It really, the only way I can think of, you know, getting help is to really appeal to Krishna. It's like, what am I going to do about this stuff in my heart? That's been some of my realization. And it really, whether I'm in, you know, if I'm sitting in kirtan or chanting my japa, it really intensifies my prayer because I can see those things in my heart. But it's thanks to the relationships that I can actually see the things. Otherwise, you know, if we're alone by ourselves, it's very easy to become puffed up and think everything, I'm perfect. I recently started living in an ashram situation. like communal, so with a number of devotees, and I'm also seeing this relationships aspect playing out very effectively. It's very fun, and it's very, you know, we have loving relationships, but they're also very purifying. But I can see that this purification is bringing us closer to Krishna, and helping us remember him more and more. I think the last thing I'll share is, well, two things. When you have relationships with devotees, and those devotees go through difficult times, it really makes you pray intensely to Krishna to help those devotees. To help those devotees and to Krishna, please help me so that I can serve these devotees in this time of need. And I've actually found that this is one of the most profound things for me, is praying for other devotees. This act of praying for other devotees really helps me go deeper in my japa. It's been my experience. In fact, most of the time I'm like mechanical and inattentive, but when I pray for other people, it really helps me connect with the holy name better. So if we can develop really sweet, loving relationships, then we have these wonderful Vaishnavas to pray for. And the ultimate experience is, of course, death. And so last year I experienced, I mean, use the word death, but my spiritual master left the planet. And like, if devotees know who Gaur Govinda Swami is, he also left the planet some years ago. But one time a disciple asked Gaur Govinda Maharaj that, you know, you talk about crying for Krishna all the time. We have to cry for Krishna. And the disciple asks, how can I cry for Krishna when I've never even seen him? And Gaur Govinda Maharaj replied that, you will be able to cry for Krishna when I leave. When I leave, that's when you will be able to cry for Krishna. So I had this experience last year, and it was really life-changing. And it brought me much closer to Krishna than I'd ever expect, and I'm still trying to figure it out, actually. but it's the relationship. It's driven around this relationship. It's the most important relationship in our life, actually, the relationship with the spiritual master. So I want to try to invest more in relationships as opposed to turning away from them. And actually, Rompath Maharaj, I've heard him many times say that the essence of Krishna consciousness is relationships. I think I'll end there. Sorry, kind of went off. Okay, Hare Krishna. Did I go over time?
నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే శ్రీల రోమపాద స్వామినితి నామినే. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంగాయతి గిరిమిత్ కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురుం దినధారణం పరమానంద మాధవం. హరే కృష్ణ. సీక్ ఆల్ యువర్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ బిఫోర్ ఐ బిగిన్. యాజ్ ద ఇస్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆర్గనైజర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ రిట్రీట్, ఐ కమ్యూనికేట్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ విత్ మహారాజ్ రిగార్డింగ్ వేరియస్ థింగ్స్. And one of it is the schedule. So, Maharaj sends the schedule as version 1 and then makes some modifications, becomes version 2. So, when I received the first version, I saw this topic. If you remember, Festival of Holy Name, there was a similar topic, but that was journey of our relationship into the Holy Name. And I really wanted to attend that particular, hear the speakers. There were 3 speakers. I wanted to hear that because it is very interesting. But because, there's problems in organizing, so I constantly will be occupied with something else. So I didn't get to hear live. So this time when I saw that, I prayed to Krishna that I should hear this time, Krishna, please help me, that nobody should disturb me. And then I got a call from Maharaj. And Maharaj said, this topic, I spoke to Nityananda Pran, and he said that if he is going to speak, he has to speak the same thing again, because journey of our remembrance into the Holy Name and Krishna, Krishna and Holy Name are non-different. So we have to speak the same, our life story again. It's the same thing. So he insisted to, or he suggested to find new speakers. So Maharaj said, I spoke to Uma and she agreed. I said, yes, Maharaj. And then you can speak. After that, I didn't know what Maharaj said in the world. I completely blacked out. So, I just wanted to, cheer you all up after such a deep presentation from Uma. The journey I'm going to begin with, journey has a origin and a destination, but remembrance of Krishna continues forever, so there must be a destination because I have to stop. I've been given a time. So I'm going to start my journey just before my birth, and I'm going to end at the time of initiation, depending on the time. I may go into details or I may skip details. So my parents were born in a pious Brahmana family in Tamil Nadu. There was a we call Maharaj as a sannyasi. In Tamil Nadu, we used to call Swamiji. There was a Swamiji who moved from Kerala, and he was from a Shankara Sampradaya. And he established a mutt in one of the suburbs of Chennai. And he was very famous. So my parents moved into the vicinity of the Swamiji, and they started serving him. He established goddess Bhuvaneshwari, and he called that Bhuvaneshwari Peetam. And every morning, my father and mother used to go for the puja or the aarti, and then they used to recite Lalita Sahasranama. And my mother used to cook for the Swamiji every day, other than the days that she could not. My parents had 4 sons. That means I have 4 older brothers, and I was the 5th. When my mother was pregnant, this Swamiji asked my parents, if you give birth to a son, you already have 4, will you give him to me? Meaning, can I accept him as a disciple and make him the successor of this mutt? So think about it. If you are the parents, what will you do? My parents agreed. They said yes. So fortunately or unfortunately, I was born as a boy. So that is the way I was brought up. I was not allowed to mix with anyone. Even now I have the problem mixing with many people. I was not allowed. And I was brought up in a proper environment. And at the age of 9, a Vedic pandit, you may say, under the instruction of the Swamiji, came to my house. He used to come every day at 6 o'clock in the morning and teach me Upanishad. So I never liked it in the beginning, but later, after understanding him and, you know, talking to him and all those things, we had a very good rapport. So I started, you know, understanding and, you know, learning the Upanishad. The main thing in the Upanishad, it's very high Sanskrit, very difficult. But being from Tamil Nadu, the language Tamil does not have like Sanskrit syllables. Sri Sri Kishore Kishori ki jai, Sri Jagannath Valde Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So the language Tamil is not like Sanskrit. So you don't differentiate when you write a syllable from ka and ga and ga. So if you read in the Tamil, you will not be able to pronounce the Upanishads properly. So he had tough time teaching me, because I don't know anything other than Tamil or English. So he had either Sanskrit, or he used to have a book in a language called Grantha. I don't know whether it is in use now. So then he got a book which used to tell me how to read properly. And the focus on the Upanishads are on the meter and the pronunciation. Those two are extremely important. So I learnt major portion of Taittiriya Upanishad. Prabhupada quotes lot of in the purports about Taittiriya Upanishad. So for example, I will say that Prabhupada quotes this: Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayante visham vishanti. So the way you should say that in the Upanishad is Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayante visham vishanti tat vijignyasasva, like that. So there has to be a meter. So at the end of each chapter, there will be a test. He used to give me a test. And in the test, he used to start somewhere from the middle. Like, for example, you understand there are 700 shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita. You start somewhere from the middle one shloka, and from there you have to continue speaking, reciting the shlokas. So he used to continue, start from somewhere, and I have to continue until he says stop. And in that, he will see my pronunciation, and then the meters, and then first of all I have to memorize all those things. And then he will, you know, give me the marks. So there is one more interesting thing in that which I will say. Like, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, if suppose say you all know all the 700 shlokas, and if I come and tell you that, okay, start from this place, Indriyani Indriyartebhyas Tasya Prajna Pratishtita. So then you will have to ask me, should I start from second chapter 59th shloka or second chapter 69th shloka? Because the previous shlokas, both of them end with the same what I said. So like that, there are various things in the Upanishad which repeats but starts somewhere else. So when he says, I have to ask him, if I don't remember that, I am finished. So this kind of training I went through. And also there was a harmonium teacher who came to my home and taught me harmonium. How to play harmonium. So I was born like this. I was brought up like this. And I also went to regular school. And slowly, due to the association of the school, I started losing taste in all this. So my father noticed that. And then he wanted to talk to me. And he will call me, and he will talk to me, and he will say, my dear son, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to college? Why do you have to go to college? To get, you know, a good job, to get money, to get married, to get children. All these are, I am telling you, you know, not worth it. You have to understand who you are. That is more important. You know, he used to tell me that. But I used to call my mom, you know, can you please look up, look at my dad, you know, he is bothering me. I don't like all these things. So eventually, you know, I studied, I finished my school, and, you know, they also gave up. I went to college. And one interesting, you know, the remembrance of Krishna will happen also when your doubts are cleared. You know, it is very important. You should have faith. So I will, in the course, I will tell you in my journey, like how there are certain doubts that were so strong for me and how it got cleared. So the one aspect, and also the contaminations have to go away. And one of the contaminations I had was hearing to movie music, cinema music. Because I used to play harmonium in the college. I was recruited in the college music troupe. And we used to give a lot of performances. So my everyday sadhana was to hear cinema music. I did that regularly. And we also used to go to the nearby villages where, you know, college, and then, you know, in order to give pleasure to the villagers, we used to perform this orchestra. Then, I got graduated. You know, nothing big happened after that, you know. This is one significant point I wanted to mention. I got graduated. By then, my brother came to St. Louis. Some of you know my brother. He's still in St. Louis. He came to America and he's in St. Louis. So after he graduated, he insisted that you should go to this place and get this particular software training. Because I did that and I am here now, you will also come here. So I have four older brothers. I always listened to them. So I said, okay, I went there. The first day I went into the training room, and then I saw this unique person sitting there, and we all, other people are all wearing regular dress, and this person was wearing a full hand inserted, very iron dress, you know, shirt and everything, with a tie and sitting. I was thinking, hey, this guy looks different. And then, you know, during the class, he used to answer. I didn't even understand what that was, but he used to answer the questions. And during lunchtime, when we were in the lunchroom, he used to sit in a different corner all alone, and nobody bothered to go and talk to him. So we were talking, and first day I saw that, but the second day I thought, no, this is not right. You know, I should go and talk to him, connect with him. So I went there and then introduced, and he introduced his name as Raja Gopal. You know, that was his name. So I introduced, and then I started having lunch with him, and I started talking about any topic. You know, I wanted to strike some conversation. I talked about movies, and he said, I have stopped watching movies for a long time. So, and then I said, okay, let us talk cricket. And he said, I was not interested in sports at all right from my childhood. So I was thinking, I am very zero in politics. I don't know anything about politics, so I cannot talk about that. So what else I can talk to him about? So we were eating all quiet. And then I said, okay, you are here coming to the training that, you know, whatever I'm doing. And he seems to answer the questions. Maybe we can start talking about the software that I am learning about. So that is how I connected with him. And I learned that he was prior in Muscat. He has worked on the system, which was a prior version of the same system that we are learning now. And he has come to upgrade his technical skills. So that was nice. So we connected. And over the course, there is a project that was given. And two of us joined, me and Rajagopal. And then we did the project. So we connected very well. One day he invited me to his home. There was a festival in his home. I went, and then I was having, you know, there is lunch at his house, and then his mother came to me, and then she said, oh, you are Ramana, you know, my name is Venkat Ramana, and then, you know, they call me Ramana. So, oh, you are Ramana? Yes. Oh, you have become Krishna devotee? I said, what? oh, Raja didn't say anything about it. Okay, okay. I was thinking, what is happening here? I looked at him. He didn't look at me. He was just eating. I said, okay, whatever that is. So I just quit. And after that, both of us got the job in the same company. We took the training. But he got, because of his prior experience, he got it into the software division. And I was coming out of my college fresh. So they put me in a training division. But in the training division, I used to get a lot of time. So I used to analyze a lot of books and read everything. And then go and talk to him and give him tips on how to do that. He had the experience. He used to do that. That is how we connected. And after some time, he got his visa. And then he said, hey, I've got a consulting job in Enterprise Rent-A-Car in St. Louis. You know anyone there? And I said, oh my God, my brother is in the same company. He's also a consultant. So he said, okay, so after discussion, he came to St. Louis. My brother picked him up and they shared their apartment and they lived for like 1.5 years there. So in the meantime, I never lost touch with him, because whenever my brother called India, I spoke to him for a couple of minutes. And when I got my visa, that was 1995, September, I came here the first project I was in North Carolina, but the second one, by the time he went to India and got married, Rajagopal, and then he came and both of us got the same project in San Francisco, California. So I was so happy meeting him again, and then we went there, we got the same client. Because he was newly married, he took an apartment, I took a different apartment, but he said, you don't cook. You come to my house for breakfast, lunch and dinner. So I said, that's a great deal, no problem. Who will say no to that offer? By the way, I was not a good cook also. So I took that offer. So I went there, and the first weekend or something, he took me to ISKCON Temple in Berkeley. That is when I came to the first ISKCON temple. So I looked at the Bhagavad Gita. Really something struck at, you know, me that I have to buy this. So I said, I'm going to buy the Bhagavad Gita. And I asked, like, how much it is? They said $10. You know, everything has inflation, not Bhagavad Gita. The hardbound in 1996 January was $10. And even now it is $10. So I took it, and then but it didn't look like a temple for me at all, because I am from a South Indian family, and for me temples are totally different. So I never thought this as a temple. So when he said we will have dinner here, I asked him, are you sure there will not be any meat in it? Because I saw a lot of Americans. That was the level I was. This is coming from my previous contamination of my brought up. So he said, no, they don't even have onion and garlic here. This is purely Krishna prasadam. Then I said, okay. And then I had the prasadam. Then I came home, and that is where every breakfast, you know, lunch or dinner, whenever we had time, we started discussing about the Bhagavad Gita. And I thought I knew a lot. But he knew so much. He used to always present a verse, a shloka from Bhagavad Gita, and, you know, answer my questions. And I was very impressed, because how much ever agitated I was, so much cool he was. I was very impressed. It was very interesting. Then some of the shlokas he said Srimad Bhagavatam. So I said, oh, Bhagavatam. What is that? So I have heard a lot of people in, you know, where I used to be, coming and reciting Bhagavatam, but they were all professional reciters. So nothing went in. So when he told, everything started going in. I'm sorry. checking my time. It was very interesting, and that is where I had most of the doubts cleared, but there were two doubts, the major doubts that he could not clear. One was the pronunciation. See where that is why I told you about, gave you the background of me. The pronunciation, I said, people in ISKCON, the pronunciation is not good. That's not going to help them out. And he said no, but he couldn't present me with a proper logic. And the second thing was, I was not able to accept Lord Chaitanya. I said, Krishna, yes. Where it is said, Lord Chaitanya? That time we didn't have internet. There was no internet. So it was difficult for us to search and find out and all those things. He was in Muscat, and he said the place where I used to go as a temple had a huge library. They maintained a library, and there he used to read a lot, and that is where he was answering all these from. So there was no books or anything at that time with us. So these two things were, it was very difficult for me. So I said, okay, that's fine, but we used to discuss other things, and you know, that was fun. And then this project got over in few months. So all my prasadam, whatever I was having, gone. He moved to Dallas, and then I came to Chicago. But the best thing was, he used to communicate with me. At that time, the long distance we used to call costed 10 cents per minute, if you remember. Whoever was there. Nowadays, everything is free. But earlier, it used to be like 10 cents per minute. So, we had an agreement. You call me one day, I will call you one day, and we'll talk for 1 hour. So, we used to talk for 1 hour only about Krishna. And then he used to write letters to me. And in writing the letters, one of the letters struck me so much that he wrote me that, what does Krishna want from us? There is nothing that he wants. He has everything. But still, if we offer him some small, whatever food we cook, Krishna accepts it because he accepts our love. So this struck me so much that whatever I cooked, I started offering. And from Dallas temple, he purchased a chanting bag and sent it to me. Shipped it to me. And then he said, okay, chant. I said, I will chant 8 rounds. I started from 8 rounds. And he gave me the address of Chicago temple here. I stayed in Bensonville, in an apartment called Linden Towers. You climb down, there is a train station taking me to Union Station. So every Sunday I used to come there, take another train, come to Rogers Park, walk here, because I didn't know how to drive. I didn't have a car that time. So I used to come here and then go. So I was, coming here every Sunday or most of the Sundays. I used to stand in that place, that near Prabhupada, that is my place. And so after that is how I was still chanting 8 rounds. And he came, his project got over in Dallas, and he got a project in Chicago. So I didn't know anything about initiated, nothing. I didn't know about his initiated name or anything. I used to call him Raja Gopal. His initiated name was Radha Gopal. So he came here, and his wife became pregnant. She wanted to go to her, be with her parents during that time. So he sent her there. So he was alone. He said, hey, why am I paying rent, separate? We will be together. So he closed his, ended his lease, and then he came and stayed with me. That was the best time. Also a challenging time. Because he used to wake up at 4 o'clock sharp. Every day, 4 o'clock. And he will go, 4:30, he will exit the bathroom and then wake me up. I said, why are you waking me up at 4:30? But he said, no, this is the best time to chant, So, we used to chant, I used to go and then come back, chant, and then I started chanting 16 rounds. He used to cook every meal. You know, morning we used to cook, pack everything for lunch, go to work, come back, and then evening again he used to cook. Everything fresh offered to Krishna. There is nothing left over. He had such a sense of how much we eat. In 2 days he will know how much I am eating. He will cook exactly that there is nothing left over. It's amazing quality. I don't know how he did that. Every day he will do that. I don't remember anything that we kept in the refrigerator for leftover for the next day. So every day he will do that. And we used to come here to Chicago temple. And I will tell you a few reciprocations of Kishore Kishori, because this helped me so much in connecting with Krishna and remembering him. So the Srimad Bhagavatam that he told me really impressed me. I asked, I want Srimad Bhagavatam. But we were consultants. Anytime our project may end and I have to pack my bags and move. So it is 18 volumes. So he said, you know, it is difficult. It's 18 volumes. So let us see. But in Muscat I have seen a book, which is only one book of Srimad Bhagavatam, just one volume. But it has all the 10 cantos in it. And it will be printed in a Bible paper. But that I have seen in Muscat. Next time when we go to Kishore Kishori temple, let us see whether we have it. So that Sunday, the first thing when I entered, I left my shoes over there, went into the gift shop. And then I asked the gift store, there is a one volume edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1 to 10 cantos, complete. And he said, I've never heard of it. I don't know anything about it. I was really so enthusiastic, I really wanted it, but it didn't happen. So I was so dejected. I said, okay. And then I prayed to Kishore Kishori. I said, I really needed this, Kishore Kishori. So please help me. And then the program ended. I went downstairs for prasadam. You know, that time prasadam was downstairs. So downstairs prasadam. And then when after finishing the prasadam, I came upstairs. There was one Prabhu who opened the door from outside, came straight. I was standing in front of the gift store. He came straight to me and he spoke to me so softly and he said, Prabhu, I am in need of some help. I need some money. I don't want you to give it to me for free. Can you take this book? And I looked at the book. It was that one volume Srimad Bhagavatam. I said, really, how much do you want for this? He said, $60, Prabhu. I immediately took, I had $40, I borrowed $20 from my friend, and I gave $60 to him. And I showed it to him, and he was amazed. Hey, how did this happen? And when I turned, I didn't see that Prabhu. He was gone. I still have that book, it's a treasure. And recently, one of other Prabhu who saw that, he said, Prabhu, I'll give you even $1 million. Can you please give me that book? How much ever you want, I'll give that. I said, no. This is Kishore Kishori's reciprocation. I cannot give it. That was a very pleasant reciprocation. But there was another one that happened. This was within few weeks of this happened. My brother bought me a leather jacket from India. So I used to be very proud of wearing that leather jacket. Everybody said I looked good in that. You know, so so I was really proud of it. And I came to Kishore Kishori. At that time we used to hang the jackets over there where we leave our shoes. And I hung it there, came, attended the program, had prasadam, went there. It was not there. I was frantically searching for it. And casually somebody told that, you know, oh, there are various people coming here, they might have taken it. And I never got it. It was such a sad experience. This was such a fantastic experience and that was such just the opposite. My friend didn't say anything. You know, he just, that day he said, okay, let's go home and, you know, we'll see. And then he came with me to Burlington Coat Factory and then bought me a regular, not a leather jacket and everything. But then he told me that, you know what, leather is not good. Lot of karma. So whatever Krishna did, he showed his mercy on you. So it is good. Then after a couple of days I was okay. I came to understand that yes, Krishna really did show his favor on me by taking it away. He showed his favor by giving something. He showed his favor by taking something, which is good. And I have only 7 more minutes, so I'll go faster. So then he started the first Bhakti Vriksha by the instruction of His Holiness Romapa Swami Maharaj in Chicago. So one day his wife told me, you know, he will not share many things with me, but his wife will share everything. So, but I will not share with him that his wife shared that with me. So, she told me Maharaj has asked to start a Bhakti Riksha. I said, who is Maharaj? You know, so I didn't know the term Maharaj. So then she explained that he's a Swamiji, he's a renunciate, and then, you know, he's so-and-so and all those things. And then, what is Bhakti Vriksha then? You know, it is study of the Bhagavad Gita. So don't worry, we will come. He was in Des Plaines, I was in Wheeling, you know, after she came from India, basically. So he said, I'll come and pick you up, it's on the way, and we will go to Palatine to Stoka Krishna Prabhu's house. Suresh Kattar then. So that is where we went. Very interesting, and that is the Bhakti Vriksha where Prema Tarangani Mataji and Sachi Kumar Prabhu were there. Stoka Krishna Prabhu, there was another family called Vijay and Rosina. Very interesting family. We used to have this Bhakti Vriksha. In Bhakti Vriksha, we used to have sloka recitation. He was very strict. Not even, you know, one translation word should be here and there. You know, he will say wrong. You know, this time shloka we have to recite this. Next time, you know, we will memorize that by repeating. Next time we have to say without seeing. So I still remember, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So I remember all the translations because for me, getting the shloka, Sanskrit was not a problem. English was not a problem. And this Vijay Prabhu, he moved to India, I think. I didn't see him after that. This Vijay Prabhu was so intelligent that he will say, I will go last. So by the time we all say, just by hearing, he will memorize. Amazing quality. You know, he used to say. And, you know, the Bhakti Vrikshas were nice. But I told him, you know, I will not speak much. I am kind of a shy customer and, you know, I will not speak much. He said, all right, you just come and sit. Not a problem. So, so many stories about the Bhakti Vriksha. But I wanted to say that Krishna revealed to me the answer to the first doubt about the pronunciation. Because of time, I will end here. I'll say some more things on the end. So in Vishnu Purana, this shloka was brought to me, and it was amazing that it came when I was reading something. I read, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think. It says, Murkho vadati Vishnaya, dhiro vadati Vishnave, ubayo rapi samam punyam, bhavagrahi janardhana. It says, you know, when we put tilak, right? Keshavaya namaha, Narayanaya namaha, Madhavaya namaha, Govindaya namaha. Then, it's not Vishnaya namaha, it's Vishnave namaha, right? So, Murkho, one who does not know, he chants improper grammar. He chants Vishnaya, Narayanaya, Madhavaya, Vishnaya. But actually, it is not Vishnaya, it is Vishnave. Dhiro vadati Vishnave. A learned person chants properly. Ubhayor api samam punyam. Both, ubhaya means both of them chant differently, but they get the same benefit because bhavagrahi janardana. Krishna does not see how you pronounce. Krishna sees your heart. Wow. That was so nice. So I saw that so much load from my heart went down. Otherwise, this was bothering me. Why are they not chanting properly? Why are they not pronouncing properly? And then Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali also have mentioned a wonderful verse, which if I have time, I'll mention at the end, which is very inspiring. But I'll just move forward because of the time. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very important for our sampradaya, but I couldn't take him. I said, I can understand Krishna, but not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So my friend asked me to study Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe, you know, that will help you. It really helped me. When I read that, various shlokas just went through my heart like Rama's arrows. Bang! And one of the shloka I just still remember. Ami vriddha jaratura likite kon paye kore mone kichu smarane na hoy na dekhiye nayane na suniye shravane tabu likhiye bhada vishmai. So here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is the one who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Ami vriddha jaratura, I have already, my age is 95, I become so old. I can't, mane kichu smarane na hoy, I am not able to remember anything. They have been given the service to write about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at this time, I am not able to remember anything. Na dekhiye nayane, I am not able to see. Na suniye shravane, I am not able to hear anything. Likite konpaye kore, my hands are shivering. You know, when you get very old, you cannot, your hands are shivering. And he says, my hands are shivering, konpaye kare. Tabu likhi ye bada vismay. Still I am writing. He says, ye bada vismay. This is great wonder. And I said, how come this is happening? This is because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. There is no other way. Because he is writing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no way. And why does he want to write at this age? So, like this, there are various shlokas that just convinced me of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, once Maharaj came to the Bhakti Vriksha, and that is when I saw Maharaj. But I kept a low profile. I didn't talk to him. Then, few years passed. I got married and I took a break because my friend suggested that, you know, your wife is new. If you are into this, she may not like it. So you have to bring her along with you. And that is Maharaj's mood also. Maharaj's mood is family. So I took a break and then slowly I didn't do anything with her. She actually accepted everything so fast, wonderfully. And again we came back, and that was the gap when Nityananda Pran Prabhu, Hemangi Mataji, everybody came in. And so I lost touch with them, and then I got touch back after that. So then again we started attending Maharaj programs and everything. And one incident I want to share, which we appreciated Rompa Swami Maharaj, was we heard from our sister-in-law in St. Louis that Maharaj was completely sick. There was a program arranged here. It was 2005, I think, in Gopesh Patel Prabhu's house. He had a huge basement, and Radhana Swami Maharaj, Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, and Rompa Swami Maharaj, all three, one program. So we were scheduled to go for that, but we heard in the morning that Maharaj is sick, Rompa Swami Maharaj is sick. It's difficult, he may not come. That was his, you know, stage. Okay, we said, okay, anyway, the program is going to happen. Other Maharajas are there. So we went there. And we saw Maharaj coming. Maharaj came. And not only that, after the program, Radhanath Maharaj sang and Rompa Swami Maharaj danced. We were so shocked. After the program, the first thing, me and my wife approached Maharaj and said, Maharaj, we heard that you were sick. Maharaj said, yes. And Maharaj, you danced here. Maharaj said, yes. How is that possible? And Maharaj said, looked at our eyes, and then he said, Krishna gives us strength. And I was taken aback completely because I saw how much faith Maharaj had and how much reciprocation Krishna had with Maharaj. But my wife asked the question again. But Maharaj, how is that? You are able to dance. I told you. Krishna gives me strength. Wow. And, you know, this is only one of the various interactions we had. But This gave us a lot of confidence. And ultimately, one time Maharaj sent us an email asking about our wellness. You know, there was a few months gap and, you know, Maharaj sent us, I was remembering you. You know, how are you doing? How is life? And, you know, this, I called my wife and said, from work, I saw the email, I called my wife and said, you know, I received this from Maharaj. And she said, oh my God, I am feeling something. I said, I am also feeling something. I said, what is that? I asked her first. She said, we want to take shelter of Rompa Swami Maharaj. I said, same feeling. Same here. And both of us agreed. And that Jagannath Puri Yatra, 2007, January, we took shelter of Maharaj. And then 2008, we got initiated. So much after that. But one thing I wanted to say, I was the fifth son. I had four brothers. I never took any decision, took any responsibility in my life. But slowly Maharaj started giving me responsibilities. And I am doing something here now, something for, you know, Guru and Krishna's satisfaction, to please them. It's way over me. I didn't do anything like that in my personal life. But it is happening only because of my spiritual master and Krishna's mercy. So I'll end with that shloka that Rupa Goswami says that in Padyavali, which gave me another lot of confidence in this particular pronunciation, is Vyadhyasya charanam druvaschavayo vidyagajendrasya ka kubjaya kimmunam rupamadikam kim tatsudam no dhanam vamshah ko vidurasya yadavapatir ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam nacha gunair bhakti priyo madhava. He says, vyadhyasya acharanam. Acharati is piety. This hunter called Dharma, there was a hunter, he didn't have any piety. You know, like Mrigari the hunter, he didn't have any piety, but he was able to realize Krishna. Vyadhyasya acharanam. Dhruvascha vayo. You need maturity to understand Krishna. What maturity Dhruva had? He was only 5-year-old boy. Vidya Gajendrasya ka. You need knowledge to understand Krishna. What kind of knowledge Gajendra the elephant had? Nothing. Kubjaya kimmu nama rupam adhikam. You need to be beautiful. Because Krishna is all beautiful. So I also need to be beautiful to attract Krishna? No. Kubja. What kind of beauty Kubja had? Nothing. Sudamno dhanam. You need to be wealthy? You don't have to be. What kind of wealth Sudama had? Nothing. Vamshah ko vidurasya. You have to be born in a high family. Only then you can realize Krishna. Know what kind of family birth that Vidura had. Very low birth. Vamshah ko vidurasya. Yadava pater ugrasya kim paurusham. You have to be strong. Chivalrous. Only then, because Krishna, some people say, was a kshatriya. So, you know, then you have to be chivalrous. Yadava pater ugrasen Maharaj. Have you ever seen him fighting something? You know, they're fighting in battle and, you know, defeating. You never hear. Krishna and Balram goes, defeats everybody and comes and reports to him. We finished everything. You don't have to worry. You know, ugrasya kim paurusham. But then what is needed? Bhaktya tushyati kevalam. Nacha gunair. Not any of these qualities Krishna sees. Only bhakti. Only our heart. Only love. So these two shlokas really put me in the front. I said, okay, from now onwards, I should see only the heart.